Welcome. Today's sermon titled, This is the Testimony, includes audio recordings of testimonies given by three gentlemen from our church. The first gentleman sharing his testimony is Dakota Clymer. He is followed by Aaron Antrim. The final testimony shared today is by Scott Long.
To a Christian house where we just pretty much went to church with our family, and that was pretty much it. I went to Bible studies whenever I could. I went to church events whenever I could. And that's pretty much normal for me. That's what I was doing. And then at age of 5, I was upstairs with my mom in the bunk beds, and I was like, I want to give my life to Christ. And she was like, okay, well, let's do it. And so at that point, I gave my life to Christ. And yeah, next step, I pretty much had an opportunity to get baptized at my last church, and I took it. I was in a class with a bunch of older people, which kind of scared me. I was the youngest, so I got baptized. Yeah, and later on, my parents got divorced. That was hard on my sisters and myself. I didn't know what it meant, but I just went through life trying to ignore it. And then my dad decided to get remarried, and once again, that was really hard on my sisters and myself. So God was he was the father figure that I needed at the time, and he is still the father figure that I need. Right around the time of my parents getting divorced, around freshman, eighth grade year, I got involved with pornography, which was not a good idea. I was stressed out all the time. I was constantly checking over my shoulder. I was not living like what I wanted to. Every single moment I could, I would. It was not, I knew it was not right, but I was doing it anyways. So my mom and I went to Ebenezer to get counseling from Pastor Dick. And that really helped us. We connected, and we understood how each other worked better and how we could work with each other. And it gave me peace, and I was able to stop with the pornography. Later on, I went to camps such as Spring Hill, where I learned about God with the friends from my school, plus people from my area. So I really kind of grew there, but that was just a Jesus high. And then I just went back went back to what I was doing once I got home. Later on, I went to Confrontation Point. That helped me. It got me uncomfortable while I was learning about God. Then I came home. That was just another Jesus high. I came home, and I went back to what I was doing. I had the opportunity to go to Lead the Cause in Chicago with a group of people, and that was the best part. That was the best part of my religious. All right. So what we did at Lead the Cause was we went up to Total Strangers and talked about the gospel message, and that was really hard for me. I was really not keen to talking to strangers. But I eventually came out of my shell, as Paul Ginther said. I worked with Jackson Ridge, and we had some fun times. Got him out of his shell a little bit. But yeah, it was fantastic. I learned more about myself than I ever did before. And later on, in junior year, I got really good friends. I was able to grow with them, and then be able to talk about hard stuff and trust that they were going to either help me or keep it a secret. It was a way for me to talk about my life and not have to worry about it spreading. So after I graduate from UNOH, I would like to, maybe like 2 or 3 years down the road, I would like to go to some kind of Christian type or kind of do an online Christian university, and maybe do on the side Bible studies with younger kids and kind of try and help them if they have the same experience I have had.
All right, so my name is Aaron Antrim. I grew up right outside of Bell Fountain, Ohio, grew up on a small farm, and we went to church every Sunday in a small church just down the road. And the little town that I lived in was called Walnut Grove, just like the TV show. Very small congregation, probably not more than 50 people each Sunday. But what I really remember about that time in my life was I had a Sunday school teacher, and her name was Vera. And she was no relation to me, but even though she was no relation to me, I called her Aunt Vera. And she taught me from about the age of Levi all the way up through high school. What is very interesting is I dug through an old Bible that I had when I was a young, that she gave me when I was a young boy. And I had written in there a little note. And the note said, I was trying to answer, what is a Christian? And being a Christian is trying to live a good life and learning about Jesus and so on and so on. And it struck me that I didn't have any truths of the gospel in there. It was just a note that a young boy had written, and it really wasn't that impactful. I think back as a young man, I was a very prideful young man. I had many idols in my life. I had access to airplanes when I was, 15, 16 years old. Walking around, I thought I was Top Gun. I thought I was Maverick in Top Gun. I had a lot of just things like that in my life that were basically, like I said, just idols, and it made me not a person that you'd want to really look up to. I went to Bluffton University, actually, but I wasn't really involved in any Christian activities. I didn't have a lot of Christian friends. And then one day I met a man who had a great impact on my life at the college, and it was actually a friend of my wife's. And he asked me point blank one day a very interesting question. He said, "Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?" And that is the first time that anyone had ever asked me that, just like point blank, like boom, right in your face. "Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?" And I sat there and I thought about it. I got nervous. I got sweaty. Like, it was just like there's definitely something happening within me. And I told him, I said, I do, but what I can't figure out is, what does Jesus dying on the cross have to do with me? When you're young, you don't realize, like, everything just kind of happens so fast, and you don't realize, we are really fragile people if you think about it. Like, life can change in an instant. I mean, I've seen powerful young men, strong, and their life changes just like that in an instant. I've seen people in Life Flight, where a loved one gets a phone call and boom, their life changes in an instant. That's just how it happens. And so when I look back on that time, I really wasn't looking into, like, who am I really? Who is Jesus? Is there something past this time in life? So he started to talk to me, and he basically started to mentor me, and he handed me a book, and it was called The Case for Christ. And I'm sure a lot of people have read that book, and I read it front to back, and it just resonated with me. And a few weeks later, I had a direct encounter with the living God, and the Holy Spirit just came over me, and He brought me to my knees, and he changed who I was. Went into the military. What I would say about my time in the military is that from that period of justification that occurred there in college, God has always placed people in my life or in Rachel and I's life together once we got married that have really directed us in life. As I look back, God has definitely guided our lives. On that, I'm not a perfect person, but one day I will be perfect because of what Jesus did on the cross for all of us.
Testimonies, it's just a wonderful experience. The testimonies were actually much longer, but we had to pare them down. So you miss out on some of the nuances that that I get to hear. So I encourage you to one, if you have an opportunity to talk to these people, hear more of their testimonies. Secondly, let me record you and your testimony, because it encourages us in our faith when we hear how people come to know Christ. Yet whether you're in high school or whether you're as old as Aaron. And, you know, it was funny because I was sitting there talking to him, and I thought he was still 35, but he's a lot older than that. But I won't tell you how much older. Testimony, the testimony. The first thing we have to ask is, what does that mean? And in the law or in the New Testament, the word materios, it means just to witness, that which someone witnesses or states concerning a person or thing. And so we have these examples in the New Testament. John the Baptist was a testimony concerning Christ. Now, which is interesting because John really didn't know Jesus. They were cousins. They probably didn't have much contact with each other. But John didn't know him, and yet he was a testimony of the truth, and the truth being what he knew to be in the Old Testament, plus what God was speaking to him as they engaged in their relationship. So he was a testimony of what he had never seen. That encourages me, because we are a testimony of something that we have not seen, but yet it has changed us. It has changed us. On the other side, you have Jesus, who is a testimony concerning himself, because he was the truth. He was not a testimony of something else. He was a testimony to himself. So a declaration by a witness who speaks with the authority of the one he knows. That's how that word is used in the scriptures. This starts off our passage this morning. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. And so we're getting this understanding of what is this testimony of Jesus. Not by water only, but by water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. So in this passage, we're going to look at it a little bit more in a few minutes. But in this passage, we basically get these three aspects of Jesus' life that gives testimony to who he is. There's always been this debate on what the water is and what the blood is. But I believe that the water is his baptism, and it has to do with the Spirit, and that the blood is his death on the cross. These two things mark the testimony of Jesus, his being anointed by God to be the Messiah, as he is, and also the act of what he did in propitiation, the dying for our sins on the cross. And of course, the Spirit is the one who testifies to these things. So these are these testimonies that are going on, and it has an impact on our lives. Now, there are two things, two events in the scriptures where God audibly speaks as a testimony to Christ. One is at his baptism. You know, so he's baptized, the heavens are open, the Spirit comes down like a dove, and there's a voice. A voice from heaven that said, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased." And so it's the inauguration of Jesus' ministry where God himself opens up the heavens and gives testimony to it. The second time he does this is at the Transfiguration, where he is on the Mount of Olives and he is meeting with Elijah and Moses. His disciples, the three of them, they wake up and they get so excited about what's going on, they don't even know what to do. So they're just kind of, they say things. You know how you get nervous and you're not sure what to do, you just kind of say stuff? Well, that's Peter, and he says, "Hey, you know, why don't we build booths? You know, places of worship. Let's build booths. And hey, let's build one for Elijah. Let's build one for Moses. Let's build one for Jesus." And at that moment, Elijah and Moses disappear. And all, it says in the scripture, all who is left is Jesus. And then the heavens open and a voice from a cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." As a testimony, as a testimony. Now, we have received, the passage goes on in verse 9, if we receive the testimony of men. And again, in the law, you needed to have at least two people to witness against a person in order for him to be accused. If you just had one person, it doesn't count, but you have to have two. So what God does is he gives us three. But it says, if we receive the testimony of men, so men, there are people who testify to who Christ is. You've seen two of them, and I want you to hear a third.
I'm a product of loving but firm parents, and growing up was no stranger to church and church life, being involved in several things within the church itself. And I actually became a Christian at right about the age of 10 years old at a youth retreat. And it was then that God got a hold of me, I like to say. Among other things that weekend at that retreat that took place was something called spiritual breathing. It's where you either recite a saying or scripture as you breathe in and out. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. And all along that way, I started to get really, really warm, even to the point where I was almost sweating. And I thought that was really interesting. Well, and it was then that I thought, somebody's trying to get my attention. Well, that following night, there was an altar call. And I really can't quite explain it. It was almost like you see in the movies in slow motion, a floating almost down to the altar. And I got on my knees and I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior at that point. And fast forward into high school. In high school, I was a pretty lukewarm Christian. There were times that I walked the walk, times that I talked the talk, and times that I didn't do either one. I never was really very overt about my faith then. Unfortunately, what can happen to people in college happened to me for quite a while. I fell away. I wanted nothing to do with the church. I got heavily involved in the party scene. Alcohol was my nemesis. Only by the grace of God that either I didn't kill myself or someone else, because it's hard to say this, I had a penchant for driving drunks. I even bumped up against law enforcement multiple times during that time. But each and every instance was shown mercy. The thing about that, even amidst all the headaches, hangovers, and memory loss in all of it, and there was a lot of that, I still knew, as I did when I was 10, as I did in high school, and even then, knew what was right and wrong, and knew what Christ had done for me on the cross. That was always there with me. Well, after college, I moved to Toledo to work, and after a little bit of a lull, I went right back into what I'd been doing, drinking on the weekends and otherwise, no church, nothing to do with God or anything along those lines. But again, that sense of right and wrong, and what Christ did for me, was always there in my subconscious, in the back of my mind, and in my heart. Well, after about a year of that, a series of events happened that took me back to Bowling Green to live with some friends for a while, and then back at that point that I started to get more involved in church again. Started attending regularly, started getting more into the Word, and then I met someone who I thought was going to be my wife. And about 3 months prior to the wedding, it all just blew up. Well, for almost a year after that, I was sulking. Quite literally, God drove me to my knees in surrender to Him. And it was at that point that things really started to rapidly change for me. Continued to get more and more involved with church. Started having people ask me the question, "Have you ever thought about going into the ministry?" Which I really hadn't at the time. Those questions kept coming. And different confirmations started coming too. And then I met someone else. Someone here, your very own. the former Tracy Diller, here at St. John. Then came, we were married, then to seminary, served in a church for 9 years, and now I work with addiction recovery. What's next? I really don't know. All I've ever wanted from this life is to seek and to do the will of God, whatever that may mean for myself and my family, serve where he's planted us until he moves us on, and hopefully worship, glorify, and honor God in the process.
Testimonies. They're powerful. When you share what God has done in your life and what he is doing in your life, they are stories that are powerful to the people around you. But you know, as powerful as testimonies are, God's is greater. God's testimony is greater. It's good, as good as it is to hear each other's story, it's God's testimony that transforms lives. Now, how does he speak that testimony? He speaks it through us as we share with people the Word of God. But it's his testimony that transforms life. And so we can talk about everything in our life, but if we don't ever share his testimony that changed our lives, the fact that Christ died on the cross for our sins, that he rose again from the dead with power that we might have the resurrection as well, if we do not share those things, because that is the testimony of God, then the rest of things we share is just interesting. Casual communication. Because God's testimony is greater. Verse 7. For this is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. God's testimony is the reality of his Son, who he gives to us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I found interesting in Aaron's testimony that one question. The one question that Jason reiterated. Do you know that Jesus is the Son of God? Powerful. It's a good question. It's fraught with a lot of explanation and power. It's about him coming and dying instead of us. That is the testimony of God. It's the reality of his Son. So no matter what we do it in the name of Christ. Whether we are having dinner with company and friends, it is Christ who is the center. If we're dealing with an issue in our life, it is Christ who is the center. Because anything else does not anchor us behind the veil. I love the song. It's one of my favorites of all time. You know, the world and the darkness would have us not see Jesus. But he is our rock. He is our testimony. So, you have received the Spirit of adoption. This is Romans 8, talking about how the testimony of the Spirit. You have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, the reason why I bring this one up is because when he talks about in this passage that the Son of God has the testimony in himself, and so when we believe, we have this testimony of God in us. And that is exhibited through the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God speaks to our spirit to confirm and affirm the fact that we are his children. I mean, if you have doubts that you're a child of God and you worry about that and you're not sure, well, it may be the Spirit speaking to you saying, you do not know the testimony of God. And if you have those doubts, I encourage you to speak to me or to speak to someone you know to be a believer and talk about how to have the assurance of your faith in eternity. But I say wow, because to think that the Spirit of God resides in me and in you and speaks to my spirit is an amazing thing. We read passages like this in our devotions, and we go, we see it so much. I put this passage up here so often, it's easy to dismiss it. But if we do, then we then we are missing out on the power of God in us, in us. Hebrews, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. In other words, those who are becoming more and more like Christ. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. And so the Holy Spirit, his testimony is in us and it's to us, that we have assurance of our salvation through Christ. In Colossians, and this is one of my favorite verses, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, something that has not been known in the past, but is made known now in Christ, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the mystery. Christ in you. How can God reside in you to bring about salvation? Through his Son. Christ in you. That is the hope of glory. And when we focus on anything else, we lose that hope and we lose out on the abundant life that God has for us. Verse 11. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is where? In his Son. Eternal life is more than being with God forever. I think this is so important. Eternal life is in Christ. And wherever Christ is, eternity exists. We are to live kingdom values now as a testimony to what God is doing. You see, when we become believers, we actually begin eternity. Now, we aren't what we're going to be yet because we have not been changed. But eternity starts now, and our death just transforms us into the presence of God, and we will be made like Christ in totality. And we continue on our journey into eternity. So it doesn't begin. So when we become a Christian, we go, okay, I'm a Christian now, and I can live however I want. It doesn't make any difference. And then when I get to heaven, that's when it's going to be great. No, it's great now. Now, we are fraught with problems. We're messy. I wanted to put up here in the welcome. I couldn't get it all together. The welcome with slide said, messy church. You're welcome here. I couldn't put the words you're welcome on this sign, but it says messy church. You see, we're messy people. We're a messy church who are working together to be a testimony of God's grace and mercy. Isn't that exciting? You stumble, I get to extend mercy and grace. I stumble, you get to extend mercy and grace. Isn't that exciting? That's kind of neat. I don't have to judge you. You know, there's discipline, there's confrontation, there is conviction, but, you know, those are things that family do for the purpose of transforming us into the image of Christ, who is in us. Oh. You know, it's interesting that in these testimonies, you always heard that they got hot and they got sweaty and, you know, and there was this fire inside of them. And I think, wow, that's what we need. That's what we need. Because it starts now in how we live and love one another. For there are three who testify. There are three who testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. So at Jesus' baptism, you have the Spirit who descends on him like a dove, who testifies to who he is, the one who would come and take away the sins of the world. Then you have the Father. You have the water in which he opens up the heavens at the baptism and he says, "This is my Son, who I am well pleased." The Father speaks to those who are around. And then the blood. The Son, who takes on the sins of the world. And they all agree, you are my Son, the Beloved. My favor rests on you. You see, their testimony agrees. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, agree that the testimony of God is his Son, who dies on our behalf that we may have eternal life. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his son. Amen? Amen. I get excited about that. That's the testimony. And the testimonies, and so get ready, because I'm going to ask you at some point to videotape your testimony. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you opened up the heavens and identified your Son as coming to take away the sins of the world. Spirit, I thank you that you reside in us to solidify that testimony in our lives. And Jesus, you paid it all. And all to you I owe. And so, Father, take my life and let it be. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Paul, and those for those testimonies. It's Jesus. It's Jesus working in our life. Would you stand and sing, Jesus, only Jesus.
Who has the power to raise the dead? Who can save us from our sin? He is our hope, our righteousness. Jesus, only Jesus. Who can make the blind to see? Who holds the keys that set us free? He paid it all to bring us peace. Jesus, only Jesus.
Holy King Almighty Lord, saints and angels all adore. I join with them and bow before Jesus, only Jesus. Who can command the highest praise? Who has the name above all names? You stand alone, I stand amazed. Jesus, only Jesus. Holy King, Almighty Lord, saints and angels all adore. I join with them and bow before Jesus, only Jesus. Holy King, Almighty Lord, saints and angels all adore. I join with them and bow before Jesus, only Jesus. You will command the highest praise. Yours is the name above all names. You stand alone, I stand amazed. Jesus, only Jesus. You will command the highest praise. Yours is the name above all names. You stand alone, I stand amazed. Jesus, only Jesus. Jesus, only Jesus. Jesus, only Jesus.
You stand alone, and I stand amazed. Jesus, only Jesus. That's the testimony that we are called to share to the world. Let's take every opportunity to do that. By the way, next week, we're going to our summer schedule of one service. That means it's going to be packed in here. So if you want your favorite seat, Byron, right there. Better get her early, or you'll be up in the balcony. So don't forget that. Next week, I'll put out an email this week just to remind everybody. One service, these are the times. ABF Sunday School will be at 9:15, worship service at 10:30 a.m. So make sure you're here at ABF's. That way you will not be late for the service. Have a good week in the Lord.